P.S. I Love Hoffman is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Who would have thought, like a film from 2004, and we're almost done with like Act 2 of Philip Seymour Hoffman's career, that would be hard to even illegally find a piece of his work?
Legally, how I like to find it. Illegally, how you like to watch your movies.
No, but nonetheless... We even tried that way, you know, even maybe get a fire.
So if you're listening today expecting Strangers with Candy, apologies, that is not the film we're about to talk about today.
No, we are covering our only episode that we're doing of a TV work of Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, but it's a film, it's a miniseries, so yes. It's nothing that I think is outside the bounds. But if you want to consider it something special, go for it.
Well, it's not TV, it's HBO.
Iggy Pop! Amen! Let it rock!
I'm a fucking idiot.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
I'm an artist.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Capote.
Why don't you have some fun?
Fun!
Tommy,
that's a tape thing.
Whoever she is, I'm gonna find her and I'm gonna hurt her.
I've spent the past 3 years learning Finnish!
I'm always home, I'm uncool.
This is a process of dehypnotization.
Shut up!
Hey, Hoff fans, welcome to this week's edition of the P.S. I Love Hoffman podcast, our love letter to the remarkable career of the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. I'm Brian Rodriguez.
And I'm Kyle Reinfried.
We're always home, we're always uncool, and we're always ready to talk great movies. And, as you mentioned, this isn't actually a movie, but it kind of is. I don't know. It's a bit ambiguous. It's a bit ambiguous.
What did it end up being in three and a half hours-ish, right? So?
Yeah, the first one was like 2 hours. The second one was like an hour and a half. So around 3.5, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, and it's Empire Falls.
Empire Falls, an adaptation of a Richard Russo book.
Yes.
And we have done a Richard Russo film before.
And because we've also done a Richard Russo film before that had Paul Newman in it, and this has Paul Newman in it. And
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And Philip Seymour Hoffman, of course. But we have back Jenny O'Connell.
Hi, Jenny.
Hey.
Yeah, Jenny, welcome back. Jenny, actor,
you.
Model.
And some dogs.
Dog walker, yep. Yeah. We are surrounded by puppies because
almost
that
on my
is...
laptop right now.
I believe that was in your rider. That
yeah.
You
oh, yeah,
puppy
absolutely.
Surrounding you.
Yeah, at all times.
So how have you been, Jenny?
I've been doing all right. Just really leaning into some cool art projects, trying to get those off the ground and diving into them. So I've been... doing, you know, some fun photo shoots. I'm just getting the pictures back from horror recreations that I did.
Ooh,
with...
Tis the season.
Yeah, so yes, I got to recreate the Carry of Blood. That was fun in Halloween. And, like, Possession, which is a crazy film. So I got to be in the subway with that. And I saw the dude who played Count... I got jammed. So I don't know if you watch Parks and Rec, but I saw Counselor Jim.
You saw, what's his name, John Glazer?
Yeah.
From one of my favorite
yeah.
shows.
And it was Glazer great because I was, I had this, like, weird mixture of, like, toothpaste in my mouth to get, like, the vomit. Because, like, it's Isabella Adjani covered in, like sweat and vomit, just, like, screaming and
wow.
running around a subway and then throwing up everything. And so I was doing that.
And John Glazer was there?
He was, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and, like, Park Slope, which, you know, of course.
He's great in Parks and Recreation, but if you haven't seen his, like, true TV show, if it's still even on the air, John Glazer Loves Gear.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I love that show. It's just about him loving gear.
But, yeah. I'm also, I'm doing a play, Empty
awesome.
Spaces. I get to be a crazy sister, like, get my girl interrupted on. So my character
awesome.
Isn't crazy sister. She's bipolar and is the crazy sister
gotcha.
Of the main.
Of the play.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Exactly. Which is all about artists in Brooklyn and anarchy and feminism. So
there's artists
cool.
in Brooklyn?
I know, right?
So, again, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Busy schedule, and you took the time to come on the podcast and watch this long amount of a TV miniseries.
Yeah.
Empire Falls.
Empire
yeah.
Falls. And you
Empire
mentioned
Falls.
It, it's not TV, it's HBO. So this
yes.
was an HBO miniseries. Kyle, had you heard of this director or know anything about him?
Nope.
No, I'm assuming that this director is a... a sentient can of Folger's coffee. Because
I mean, that's fair.
My short synopsis, sorry to ruin your synopsis, which is actually more professional, but, you know, for the people who just want to, you know real quick, it's like if a, like, Folger's can directed a movie. It's like, that's exactly what this experience was like for me.
I don't know him, but, like, you know, I clicked on his IMDb. He did direct, like, one of, like, definitely one of the most popular, I think, comedies of all time, Roxanne, starring Steve Martin.
Oh.
So, really?
Yeah. Really? Hmm. Well, you know, I mean, I don't want to be a dick and assume that coffee can't have a sense of humor. No, you know, he, sentient coffee.
He's actually Australian, which he's Australian. I pegged this guy as, like, an all-American, you know.
Same.
Wholesome guy. His name is Fred Schweppes.
Yeah, I want to call him Schwepp Pepsi.
Yeah. Schweppes. Yeah.
Schweppes Pepsi.
Fred Schweppesy. I am terrible at reading.
S C H E P I S I.
If any of you are fans out there.
Schweppesy.
Schweppesy, I guess. I'm just going to go with Schweppesy.
Please correct us.
Schwepp Pepsi. We know
we're butchering this nice man's last name.
Watch here. We're going to end up having a special episode with, like we did with Amos Poe. With Fred Schwepp Pepsi, and I'm going to have to apologize to him. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So, Empire Falls, as we mentioned, it's a Richard Russo novel.
Yes, and mm-hmm. So he also, like, adapted it for, you know, like, the screenplay, right?
Yeah, he wrote the screenplay, and Nobody's Fool was the other episode you were on. Much older, well, not much older, but definitely a cruddier looking Paul Newman here in terms of crusty.
Well,
he's still beautiful.
Right,
he's still beautiful. I wrote that he was in my notes. I was like, oh, Paul Newman is sexy hobo mechanic Jesus.
That's fair.
That's a pretty sound description, right?
I would
there.
Say so. So this being a two-parter, you wrote one synopsis though, right?
Yes. Yeah. Just like a trying to, I mean, it's just a sprawling, I'll get into my gripes with this, but so my synopsis is read as: set in a depressed mill town in Maine, Empire Falls follows the lives of many of the town's original families, but most notably the Robies and the Whitings, and the drama woven through their history.
I like that. I like that. And,
thank
and
you.
Jenny, being a fancy New England lady like you are, it's another reason we decided to bring you on this podcast. No,
ooh, I'm a fancy New England lady.
I had no idea this took place in Maine.
Yeah.
No idea that this took place in Maine?
No. After watching it, of course, or seeing it.
I mean, the opening is just like...
Well, yes. But before we had her brought in before that, I thought, because I read that most of his work took place in upstate New York, like Nobody's
Empire
Fool.
State, Empire Falls.
I just naturally thought that.
Yeah.
But no, we get a nice Poland Spring, I guess, Maine town.
Yeah.
Let's go over the cast, because...
Yeah, that cast was lit.
Well, just to clarify first, none of us had seen this before, correct?
No. I went into this totally blind, honestly.
So, you mentioned Folgers. This, not to make more coffee puns, but this cast is chock full of nuts, isn't it? Wah, wah.
Wah,
no.
Wah.
But seriously, huge cast, right? I mean,
big
cast.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's... it's for a two-part miniseries.
HBO knows how to get people.
They do. That casting director, Avi Kaufman, really knows what they're doing. Like, well done.
I'd say so.
I really hope that's the casting director, because honestly...
I mean, I believed you. I don't know.
Maybe I'm just name-dropping a
random... No, I think it was. I think I saw
that
name.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have our star is... Ed Harris.
Yes, Ed Harris. It's just weird, you know, like I wrote it down in like the order on IMDb, but it's just very weird. I'm just going to say from the get-go, the title sequence and like the casting like order credits. So it goes in alphabetical order. That's what, you know, some movies or some shows do. So Philip Seymour Hoffman was like the third guy having a last name starting with, you know, an H. But he was also, there's, you know, always different tiers.
Yeah.
And he was in the first tier, and he's not in this movie in either part one or part two.
No, disappointingly not enough.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's good, and he actually was nominated for a Golden Globe?
Emmy. Yeah, this was a pretty nominated thing at the time. Just to piggyback on what you're saying about Hoffman, I actually read an interview with him about this film, and he said... Like, and this is where maybe his third billing makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
He said that there is no character in this who's more intertwined with the present lives of... I'm I'm paraphrasing.
Sure.
The present lives of the characters in this than him. You know, he's affected almost
everybody's lives. Yeah, I see. Like, he's like at the, you know.
Yeah, he's like a keystone character, especially when he reveals who he actually is and such.
Mm.
Yeah. So anyway, to get back to the cast, I mean, our main actors are Ed Harris. He plays Miles Roby. Then we've got his, they're not officially divorced, right? But then she gets married right away. So it's Helen Hunt plays his, let's just call her his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And then you've got Dennis Farina playing Walt, who is Helen Hunt's fiancé.
Fiancé, I think that's fair to call him. The Silver Fox.
And
I love a Silver Fox jacket.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm trying to, I wrote her down, where's the daughter? Grace, right? No, that's Robin Wright's character.
Yeah, full disclosure, I did not bother to really learn the characters' names. I just referred to them by their actor names and by sassy nicknames. So that was Sky High, because she's just perpetually cast as, like, the weird, smart, wholesome, pretty girl.
Yeah, Danielle.
Who doesn't know how beautiful she is, but you're like, oh, okay. You're just going to wear, like, striped sweaters.
She's
and,
been
like,
steadily employed by the CW on The Flash in recent years.
Yeah, she works well. She does work well, and she's good.
Yeah, no, she's good. Like, no tea, no shade. So I like her.
You have Robin Wright. I think it was Robin Wright.
Yes, which
at the time.
Plays... It's she's in
Jenny,
the flashbacks.
Not
yeah.
You.
Yeah, G, yeah, yeah, Jade.
Oh,
horrible.
God.
I will not get. I love Forrest Gump, but I will forever say Jenny is a horrible person.
Well, I would agree with that.
She's in these flashback sequences and shares most of her time with a young actor playing a young Ed Harris, and then our main man Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Aidan Quinn.
Aidan Quinn, by far, hands down. Favorite person and does the best.
Really,
job in this
really?
I don't think I agree with that at all. So,
love him.
We'll definitely
listen.
He's okay.
We're gonna have.
I think he kind of has a nothing character.
We've got Dennis Farina with his Chicago. We got Ed Harris. I don't know where he's from, but he's very New York-y.
The accent you said.
Oh
no, I'm just saying. But that's the beginning of my stuff. But like, he like a bit of a New England. He gave like a little bit of like a New England like.
Fair.
I don't think
he did a bad job.
My problem with the accents. Generally across the board, with the exception of, like, I think that Philip Seymour Hoffman, Ed Harris, and Robin Wright Penn were okay, but, like, the script is just written to be, like, every line felt like it was meant to be, like, said, like, drive or pack your cat, have it, yeah, you wicked piss a home wrecker, like, every single line where I'm like, God damn it.
I feel like Helen Hunt had that accent.
She did. Oh, she was so guilty of that.
Least favorite actor.
So guilty of
ever?
That. But like
no,
that.
No, of do it like, I mean, out of the main cast.
Gotcha.
Of their work done.
Yeah, yeah. But I definitely felt like Aidan Quinn just led. Wait, everyone was into that sound. And I'm like, guys, Boston people are massholes, but we all don't talk like that.
It's weird because it seems like a town, right? Where nobody.
Yeah,
nobody
and it's
leaves.
Also in Maine.
It's
in
Maine. And. Yet everyone has a different accent. So
everyone,
kind of like
well,
odd.
And it's like it all of these like weird semi-Boston to like full Boston, where I'm like, no, just shush. Except for, I mean, Philip Seymour Hoffman was just kind of like his like posh thing, and then
yeah, he totally pulls Freddie Miles from Town.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Where I was just like, oh okay, cool, you posh.
Clams Casino.
You know, Robin Wright Penn. You know, she was good. I had no complaints. I was like, all right.
I thought she was good. So you had Joanne Woodward, Hollywood legend.
Yes.
William Fichtner.
Yeah.
I remember him from Armageddon.
Armageddon, Heat, and then kind of an homage to his role even in Heat in the dark, in the beginning of The Dark Knight.
Yeah. I thought he did good in this. He seemed like one of those towny douches.
Yeah. Yeah. No, as far as like towny douche, like asshole cop, like that kind
of
thing.
But like he showed a little bit of vulnerability under that.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Yeah.
No, he's a really fun like character actor.
You have Estelle Parsons who plays I guess his ex-mother-in-law. Ed but like they're cool.
She's like
closer like her
with
voice.
Her. Yeah.
Yeah, she has a cool voice. I mean, I do think it was interesting that she was just the plant in that entire movie to just be like, settling's great, just settle for what you got. And I'm like, wow, okay. Like,
you have Teresa Russell, who plays that bartender. I don't remember her. Oh, Charlene. No, she's not a bartender. She's like a waitress at Ed Harris's place. And she kind of gets together with your boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My mom met Aiden Quinn. She took care of his son at the hospital.
Oh, really?
Oh, whoa.
Why isn't he on our podcast then? He should have been on this episode.
Yeah. Where is this
sucker? It was a long time ago.
Gotcha. Well, we got to pull that favor out. Yeah. Sorry, sure. Jenny.
No offense. Wait, but what if I told you I was Aiden Quinn?
Then I'd be even more impressed.
Really,
exactly. And
then
that's why he's a great actor.
No, I never said he wasn't a great actor. He's a good actor.
He's one of my favorite films of all time, Legends of the Fall.
Yeah, no, Legends of the Fall. But he.
No, it's a soft spot, man.
When you said he was like the number one in this film, I was like, wow, because I didn't think his character was big enough.
Yeah, no.
I just think he personally did the best job, besides like Paul Newman. And I guess Phil Seymour Hoffman's good.
So Kate Burton was the cripple, for lack of a better. They refer to her at that.
Oh yes. Yeah, her as not Nadine from Twin Peaks, like, you know.
That's funny.
My other overall synopsis of this miniseries is boring Twin Peaks. It's like if you just had Twin Peaks
without any like
intrigue.
Sci-fi weird. Yeah, she plays. So she's Joanne Woodward's like daughter.
Yeah. And I mean, there's not that many other recognizable names. Josh Lucas is the young Paul Newman's character.
For like a hot second.
Yeah, for a second.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey turned down that role.
Yeah, I read that too.
So I always like seeing, so I guess Ed Harris is now re-teamed with HBO for Westworld. Mm. Matthew McConaughey would have been from, you know, then to True Detective, he was on that.
Oh yeah.
But not. But everyone
HBO
else,
family.
This was a random, like, I really didn't see anybody else. The other, like, he's not a big character in it, but Jeffrey DeMunn, I really like him. He's always a lot of the Frank Darabont, like.
Yeah, I recognize his face and voice.
Yeah. I don't really get his character in this. He's got like a bump on his head, and he just always.
He's a reporter.
Yeah.
More just like a town person.
Yeah.
You know?
And he just always beats Dennis Farina in Gin, I think.
So this obviously compares to, right? Why do I keep forgetting this?
Nobody's Fool.
Nobody's Fool.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it also has that small town vibe of State in Maine. You know, where that took place in New Hampshire, right? I know they went from New Hampshire to, like, Vermont.
New Hampshire to Vermont.
So one or the other.
Yeah, New England.
One or the other. New England.
Yeah. You Small know what? You're New different England. States, but then you call yourself, like, a region? What is this? I don't get it.
I know.
Did you pulled out, like, an grape. Accent of a different person right there? When
yeah,
you did
well,
that
I'm,
shtick.
Like, in Brooklyn right now. And I'm getting fucking fed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn with a pug, so
yeah.
Come at
yeah.
me, bro.
You're chilling with a pug.
Pug life.
Again, in your rider for just the puppies surrounding us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess we'll just dive right in this one. We're definitely going to go with the Hoffman characters, but basically, this is Ed Harris's film or miniseries, if you will.
Which he does do a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's American Viggo Mortensen. That's a compliment.
What's Viggo Mortensen?
Like Danish or something?
Yeah, he's Danish.
Like, I just wasn't sure if he was like... raised in like an area where he's like verbally ambiguous. Like, I mean, if you told me Canadian, I would have also like
right.
Fair, fair. I think he's Danish. I know he's one of
no,
the, like,
yeah, yeah.
He's I mean, Danish. Yeah. Actually. I mean, Viggo. Like at the same time, if you said like Transylvanian American,
like Brock Lesnar. You know, Brock Lesnar's a lesbian.
He's an infamous lesbian.
I don't know. Brock Lesnar could be a lesbian at heart. No, but Brock Lesnar is American. But he seems like he could be.
Yeah, he looks like he's from like a part of Europe where they like the people in the town only have sex with people of the town.
Oh God!
Now Brock Lesnar's
he's
gonna
kick
come
your
after
ass.
No, but he has like a farm out in like the Midwest or something.
But
and it's just like Germans, just you know.
Did you know where Ed Harris went to high school?
No, I did not.
Tenafly High School.
Wow. So wait, is he a Jersey boy?
He, yeah.
Because I mean, he's got, like, the accent, but I didn't
he, when he was young, he, like, he grew up in Bergen County.
Awesome.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
I like him more now.
My favorite film of his, I guess, where he's the lead, I don't know what my favorite film is, where he's the lead is probably Pollock, like the Jackson Pollock biopic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, pretty good film. I mean, he was really, like, the driving point in that film. Marcia Gay Harden, no relation to John Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Won the Best Supporting Actress for that, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was a good film. He's good. He's
yeah,
really
well, when
good.
We briefly spoke about it the other day, like, I said that I'm usually more of a fan of his work as, like, a supporting actor. So, like, Truman Show, or, I mean, not that he's supporting, but, like, he's a Coley in this movie, but like Enemy at the Gates. I mean, that's how much I love the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, Enemy of the Gates? No, at the Gates.
Enemy of the Gates, yeah. Yes. It's just like a big,
those
I don't
gates
know,
fucking
truck.
Hate him.
Monster truck.
Yeah, I mean, so, and then what we said, that's interesting now that, like, my favorite role of his, I think, is with Viggo Mortensen, and I actually even, while earlier, not on the podcast, I said Dave Cronenberg is History of Violence.
History of
Violence.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
He's awesome that
movie.
Still
good in that.
I think, he broke out in The Right Stuff, a movie I haven't seen, but was popular at the time.
Yes.
Yeah. Is he a mission commander in something else?
Apollo 13.
Apollo 13, okay.
He's got, like, the blonde, like, wig going on.
Yeah, I feel like he's a space guy.
He's got a great vest in that movie. NASA loves vests. That's what I learned from that movie.
So, I mean, Ed Harris is good. And you mentioned Helen Hunt. She's, of course, been with Philip Seymour Hoffman before, shared some scenes with Philip Seymour Hoffman before.
Mm. Yes, Twister.
Twister.
Yeah.
Dusty. Anyone else?
That
well,
was
obviously
very,
Paul
that
Newman.
Was a very
Newman,
Boston
as we said. Yeah.
Way to say Twister, the Twister.
Twister.
Like, that's how I feel like everyone in this movie would say it, because they're all
watch
assholes.
Out for the Twister.
Yeah.
And, Dennis Farina. I know we've talked about him before, because I think he was in Law & Order with him, like, in the Clip Show episode.
Which, didn't we discuss Law & Order with you in
yeah.
Act 1?
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
ironic.
We did. Oh, man.
It's a circle.
It is a circle.
So, Dennis Farina was one of the kind of the funnier characters, comic relief characters.
Yeah, sure.
The Silver Fox.
Yeah, I mean, I see what they were going for, but I just felt dead inside the entire time I was watching this. Because it may be because I went in with no expectations. Like, I did not read a synopsis. I was just like, oh, okay. Like, let's see what's up. Going in blind. And the music, like, the intro, it's like inspirational stoner because it's soothing background, like water,
yeah,
desktop imagery, and then like it looks like it's gonna be like a wacky comedy. Like, you're gonna be like, oh man, what's going on with these people? Like, mm-hmm, haha. You know, and then the casual folksy narration about how white people are the worst comes in, and I'm like, okay, you know, I get it. Voiceover intro, fine, whatever. But then the narration just kept coming back, and I was like, is this Harris's inner monologue?
Yeah.
You know? Like, it bugged the
yeah,
fuck out of me.
Yeah, whose voice was this?
Just the author. So, let's bring it back a little bit. What did you think of the format? Because this isn't a
this
film.
This makes me not... I'm not a big reader to begin with. This does not help me want to read.
No, because, look, this is probably, I'll say, the best format if you want to be true to a novel.
Sure. Like, I mean, yeah, I've always said, like, I've seen, I think, each of these movies once, but, like, I even say all the time, like, oh, if Harry Potter book series came out, like, 10 years later, I think people would have been like, oh, shit, let's make this, like, seven books, I don't know, but,
right,
like, 7-year running HBO show.
Yeah.
Because it's just like books, like, and that's, we're living in a golden age of TV right now.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so
I
Richard
mean,
Russo, he had, you know, he had a heavy hand in this, the author of the books.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And I think, I mean, I don't know, I didn't read this, but I think he just wanted to do something that was more close to the book, like close to the vision of the book. And when you put it that way, I mean, I understand the way they told it. It's not necessarily a novel I would read. I'll put it that way.
Oh yeah,
but I definitely get the format. I don't know if... would it have felt more faster if this was condensed into one film? What do you guys think? I mean,
honestly, I wish I could summon the spirit of Lauren Bacall. Like, just delve into the black arts so that she could rise up with me to slap Richard Russo in his goddamn face.
Wow.
Because, you know, if
this
you
is
wanna,
a great American author here.
If you want to read a book, read a goddamn book. If you want to watch a film, watch a goddamn film. Like, it's... it bugs the fuck out of me when people try to make movies exactly like books because it's a visual medium. Like, the voice over narration, like, fuck that shit. Maybe use it, like, sparingly, like, in Sunset Boulevard, but, like, don't rely on it. And it's like, just make a goddamn film, son.
It would have worked so much better if it's Ed Harris saying all these things at the beginning, because
yeah,
he's clearly a character that didn't want to stay in this town. Like, we learned this throughout the film. Like, he was in college but came back because his mom was sick, and there's this really ridiculous relationship between him and then it's Francine Whiting again. That's Joanne Woodward's character.
Mm.
And so there's a ridiculous relationship between them. I guess, she only had the one child, which, as Brian said, is like this, like she was hit by a car at a young age and has been a cripple. And I think just as like a, being like a powerful, rich, like pretty much owning like all of the town as she does, she like wanted to like groom somebody else.
Yeah.
Or whatever, but at the same time loves playing this like cat and mouse game.
Oh yeah, right. I mean she's ends up controlling almost everyone's life in this town.
Yeah, yeah. She like controls the banks, like she like doesn't let people get loans and all that kind of stuff. But so again, it would have just made so much more sense. Like I all of a sudden I was like, oh okay, I wasn't expecting this to have like a silly tone. But in the beginning, like right away, I mean they cover. It's like history of the river, so it's like Empire Falls, and then there's this big river. I don't know if it's called the Empire River, but it's probably like a Native American name. But we pretty much it goes with saying like, okay, first it was God like in charge of the river, then the Indians, then the white man, then like the industrial like revolution that they like brought there in the mills, and now sewage. Mm-hmm. Like so they give like this comedic, and they draw these X's over when people have. Dead or like even her at the end when she gets taken by the flood, it's ridiculous. But point being, like it just would have been. I was like, oh okay, like it got me like a little on board and got me a little excited. Like I was gonna have like an offbeat. Like it reminded me of, like Nobody's Fool in a way, which I think now like I wasn't the biggest fan of that movie, but it definitely his work translated better. Just to it was weird. A book translated better to like a I don't remember the length, but let's just call it a 2-hour movie than this sprawling.
Yeah.
Miniseries.
Oh yeah, I would agree. Like between the two, Nobody's Fool is way better.
Well,
this is a piece of shit.
I don't agree that this is a piece of shit. I think that if I read the book, I probably would be happy with this miniseries.
I could see that.
This is a Pulitzer Prize-winning book. This is considered one of the greatest books in the last. I don't know. I never read it. But
I've
in the
never
last
read it,
in
I
the
mean.
Last 50 years, Richard Russo is considered one of the greatest authors in the last 50 years. But coming from it, like you said, coming from it, like we don't know anything about this. We're just jumping in. I want to be entertained. That's where like it's kind of like yeah, you should have done a movie if you want
to
entertain.
Right. I think that like film as a medium, it should be able to stand alone away from the book, where you can view them as separate entities, but then go back and read the book and be like, oh, okay, you know, I like this, I didn't like this, or, you know, vice versa, be like, oh, I read this book, I really liked it, let's see how this film translates.
Well, the funny thing about that is, this was a book written in 2002, or at least it got it the Pulitzer in 2002, and this is made in 2005.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of confusing, like, did he just write this book, win his award, like, fuck it, let's make a movie. or let's make a miniseries.
Yeah, just like his agent probably was just like, oh, HBO is really, like,
strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking, like, this is during, like, so, they're really cooking with, like, Sopranos at this point.
Right.
Would you like to see Gandolfini in this?
Yeah, it's just like, what are you doing? I'm up in Maine. Where's the lobsters? Oh, I'm inland. Fuck. But it had moments where I was like, okay, like I love like movies about like, you know, we grew up in a very like so cliche like suburban like, you know, right out, like outside of New York City is just like a place where like everyone talks to one another. Just, you know, quintessential suburban area. And so I like this, like, I like this idea of, like, this little town, and you just, and, like, the way, again, we were, like, meeting the people, and there's, we got the
which, again,
characters.
Which, again, I think will probably play well in a book.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that I feel like it's a way better book, because the movie, I did not connect at all. Like, I got that intro, but then it just, 10 minutes in, I was already all aboard the whiskey and weed train. I was like, let's grab a drink. Let's grab some weed.
It's slow.
Let's, you know.
It is slow.
And I love character pieces. I love, like, when films really delve into being like, let's, you know, flesh out these characters. Let's see what their lives are about. You know, let's dive into this world, shall we? But this was just a really boring world filled with white people that I did not care about.
Well, it's hard to tell. I don't know anyone who knows this film or this miniseries. Have you ever even heard of it before we discussed it?
I mean, like, honestly, just like from perusing his
scrolling through HBO Go or something.
Yeah.
But what? So, I feel like when people, especially HBO, puts this amount of money into a miniseries, no matter what, they're going to get nominated.
Yeah.
So maybe the nominations are kind of a facade. So it was nominated, and we'll just go Emmys. Outstanding miniseries, outstanding lead actor in a miniseries, Ed Harris. Paul Newman won best, outstanding supporting actor. It's not best in the Emmys, it's outstanding. Philip Seymour Hoffman was nominated, which weird, kind of, because he's not in it that much. Joanne Woodward was nominated, Richard Russo was nominated, and the director was nominated. Only one win out of all that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, there's hardly any miniseries that HBO puts out that doesn't get nominated. So
it's
maybe
true.
This is kind of, like, telling that... So, you know, that we always look up Rotten Tomatoes, but...
I don't know what the opposite of pity nominations is, but that's what HBO gets. Like, it's just like...
Just like you usually do a good job.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
You put a lot of effort into
this. Yeah, I feel like it's like, acknowledging, like... Because, again, I think that,
like,
Paul Newman's a brilliant actor, but, like, this, you know, is not the best, where it's more like... I think it's just the Academy loves him so much.
He's got his fun moments. So
he has fun moments.
I don't know. I wonder if he's won it.
He plays Ed Harris's father.
Father,
yes.
I wonder if he'd won it.
Yeah, sexy hobo mechanic.
Because you could totally see, not that he did a bad job. He did a good job.
No, he did.
You could totally see the situation where they're like, oh, he's towards the end of his life. He hasn't won an Emmy. He's won an Oscar.
And again, I don't know if you said this. This is his last on.
Oh, I didn't say that, no.
Yeah, so it's his final. On-screen acting project.
Yeah, I mean,
yep.
that's makes sense. Certainly not the Newman's own Paul Newman.
No.
You know, this is like a,
no. But it wasn't long before. I always tell this people to watch this film. But Road to Perdition, he's phenomenal.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that's not. I feel like that's only if this is 2004, like 2005. It's not long before, and that's a great movie. That's a God. What's his name? But I mean, well, Tom Hanks is. I'm blanking out the director.
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah,
but no, it's a decent movie. By the way, we don't want to ignore our friends at the Golden Globes. This did win Best Miniseries at the Golden Globes.
What?
Yeah. don't want to get in trouble with the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Yes. Oh, not again. Not again. We've done that in the past.
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, let's run through, I guess, what we can here. We're not going to run through the whole miniseries for you guys.
No.
Just kind of some plot lines, especially like Ed Harris's main plot line.
Sam Mendes wrote to Perdition.
Oh, Sam Mendes did that. I didn't realize that.
But anyway, and so I like the way, like, it was starting off, and like the setup of, you get like the history of the town, but also what's important to this town, which is like the river and the falls and like the mills that like built off of it.
But
everything now is just like I said in my little synopsis, like, it's depressed. It's just like everything's collapsed.
Yeah, and which is similar to Nobody's Fool, like factories closing down in towns and towns surviving.
But and then also, like, I, you know, it's one of those movies that I think we said for Nobody's Fool, so Mr. Russo has a ongoing thing here, but it's just like it's got its go-to locations. Like, it's really, it's, you've got like the, you know, the church, the Empire Grill, the bar that his ex-mother-in-law like is the bartender of, the gym.
Yeah, the gym. Not a big place.
But no, but that's like, it's like every character has like their spot.
We get a hot sex scene there.
Yes, literally.
Yes,
it's in a tanning bed. And
what was that?
Yeah,
I think all I wrote was, this is a scene. Why?
I didn't write this, but if I wrote anything, I would have put, damn, almost Helen Hunt's boob. Because it's there, but not, like, fully...
Can I ask you a personal question, Kyle? Were you turned on by Dennis Farina's...
Turned on by him? I was turned on by Helen Hunt. She's...
But I'm just asking, I mean, the Silver Fox
good,
there.
Good for him. Okay, so I also love there's, like, I'm going to do some spoilers right now. There's three
That's
big,
fine.
Like... twist surprise in the movie. The first is that Philip Seymour Hoffman is, again, like a whiting, because he goes by
a lot of surprises with him.
Yeah, but the big thing with him is that he's a whiting. He is Joanne Woodward's husband, and but when we are introduced to him, he introduces himself as Charlie Mayne.
Yeah, it's just a cover name.
That's surprise number one. Surprise number two, school shooting.
Yeah.
Surprise number three, Dennis Farina isn't 50. He's like 61 or some shit.
Yeah.
Asshole.
What an ageist, Helen Hunt.
I know.
Yeah, right? Well, then, no, but then she does, like, go and, like, like say like, oh, like
she marries him, but they get,
yeah, because like he loves her
quickly.
And yeah. So yeah, I felt like I get the fact that like part two is like an hour and a half versus part one is like 2 hours, and I'm like 2 hours and change. I felt like even with the shorter like length for part two, they like all of a sudden just like rushed. But it's from the book, so I don't know.
Oh, they totally rushed. Like there's a scene that oh my god, where I'm trying to think of what chapter it's on, because honestly for part two, a lot of my notes I just fast forwarded through shit. Like I just did
funny that it is in chapters. Like
yes, yeah. That's also. I started writing the chapters and I stopped writing the chapters.
But it's like, okay,
that's again where it doesn't help, like separate the book from this miniseries.
That's why it maybe just didn't matter. Maybe just Richard Russo got the money to just. He's like, whatever. I'm just gonna.
Was he
also
like a producer on it? It just to me, yeah. It feels one of those situations where someone like had too much control.
Yeah, I think Richard Russo had too much control, because in chapter six. I forget what happens, honestly, dear listeners, but there was some jazzy music happening in one scene. Like, it was really trying to be cool. And it was a departure musically where it was like, oh, what is this? Is this, like, from Ted Cruz's Hit on Ladies playlist? But then the song turns into some folksy bullshit, like, abruptly. And then it's just like someone fell asleep on the shuffle button. Or, like, just started, like, pressing scan on a radio, being like, this is what people listen to.
The music was a little creepy.
The music was fucking awful. Like, I weep for my ears. Like, they will never be the same.
Well, lucky for you that the original person hired to do this music died before the production of the film.
Good! So, I mean, no.
Really. I should have just looked it up. Richard Russo is not credited as a producer.
Oh, so he just wrote it. He must have been like, you guys are going to do this? I'm going to write the screenplay and then have
probably,
it.
Probably, like, on set.
Oh,
yeah,
definitely.
Probably. Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you have him on set?
But like, yeah, this music,
I guess,
was.
You might.
Yeah, again, I mean, hey, like, I mean, I am not. Maybe we can do a special episode where we have like a great literary mind come on and school us or something, and just like finally make me enjoy books. But
you're not of the words, as they say, of the reading words.
Mm. No, I'm not. I'm not a big as like I love stories, but I've just never been a fan of like. Of novelizations. I love reading like a good screenplay because like it makes sense to me because it's a conversation and there's like a description. It sets like it's like, okay, so we're in a room and there's lights on the you know.
You don't appreciate the stream of consciousness. You don't appreciate.
No, because I don't have
the
one.
The nuances of language. Mm. Not.
No, I think it's just like I don't know if I ever said this on the podcast, but I just think
you
like
never learned to read.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, you didn't mention that on the podcast. Are you okay?
The worst part is I never learned how to read. But no, that to me, like a smart, like take like the smartest book and the smartest movie. You have to be more of a smart person to get, or intelligent person to get the smart film, because like what a novel will do in a page of talking to you, you get in a frame of a movie.
I mean, I guess. I don't
know.
No,
that's just like, and I'm not like, I'm not saying that is fact. That to me is just.
I think I'll have to defer, well, not defer, but agree with what you said before, Jenny, that like these are two separate mediums.
Yeah.
It's like comparing a painting and a record almost.
Right.
Of the same thing. And
sure, but at the same, I mean, it's just, well, I mean, it. There's plenty of books, like.
I think movies are the dumber version of books, and I love movies more. Uh-huh. I think books are really, really hard sometimes, you know, because people mean so much in those freaking words.
Well, the biggest, I guess, also in the end of the problem, and, like, I'd like to think that I'm a person that has I definitely am, but, I have a pretty big imagination, but, like, to me, like, a book. And then this is a problem with people that like love a book and then they see the movie and like, oh, I didn't picture that person. I don't like maybe call it taking the time, or like I don't know how to describe it, but the fact of like watching something, it's just like, okay, like I recognize that person's face and I recognize that person's face.
Have
but
you
in the book.
Ever read a book?
Question mark.
Have you ever read a book? This sounds terrible, but that became a movie? that you enjoyed?
Have I ever read a
I'm
book
sure you have, but like to your recollection.
No, but like I've no, the only books that I've read is are
Well, you saw The Grinch Stole Christmas. Oh, that was read to you, sorry.
Yeah,
that was
just... No, I mean, well, I'm sure. Like, I mean, there's, like, situations of that, of course, where the wild things are.
I'm kidding,
Fantastic
I'm kidding.
Mr. Fox.
Oh, no, 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 yeah,
no, but those are so separated, because they're, like, you know, 15 pages.
And... Yeah.
But, no, honestly, like, as far as I think every book I've ever read, it's I've read after seeing the movie, which also sometimes I really enjoy, even if, like, then it becomes different, like... I read. Let's just go with Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
Very successful book, and then obviously movie. So, for instance, Richard Attenborough's character? Please help me right now.
John Hammond.
Thank you, John Hammond. He dies in the book. So, I mean, you know, I read that. Like, I obviously also didn't read it when I was like in first grade when the movie came out. But like, I was like, oh, the grandfather dies in the book. Whatever. But like, just when reading that, it just, like, I knew the voice of Sam Neill, I knew the voice of Jeff Goldblum, and for me, that, like, I think also made it better. Or even reading To Kill a Mockingbird, I had seen it first, and just so, like, Gregory Peck, I knew, you know, like, I was just like, that's, you know, that's his face, and, but I just know, like, my mom loves reading books. And, like, I just remember there's Bridges Over Madison County is just one that always stuck in my head that she was like, oh, I didn't picture Clint Eastwood in that role. And she was just, you know.
See, one of the films that we're going to talk about is Moneyball. It's one of my favorite books.
And
It was adapted on the screen, and Philip Seymour Hoffman's in it. But it wasn't so hard to picture people in that because it's a nonfiction book.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's.
I'm not saying that's just me.
No, like, I know. And other books I've read, and I've been okay with the adaptation, but not to segue again into Game of Thrones, but sometimes I really get mad at the book readers when I'm trying to, like, enjoy the show.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And they can be just as, like... We live in this world of, like, book readers versus TV show or film watchers.
Right.
And it's, like, they're polar opposites.
Yeah. And it's frustrating because it's like we can like both or being like, guys, I just want to enjoy memes and Peter Dinklage. That's all. I give not a single fuck about this book. You know, like just let us live.
Exactly.
Let's not be dicks.
But the problem with us here is, so I wasn't a Harry Potter kid. I didn't read Harry Potter. I've seen some of the movies. It's such a part of pop culture, even the books, that I wasn't so far removed from seeing the movies. This book, while Pulitzer Prize winning, is not something that any of us have heard of, if I'm correct?
Yeah, no, I never heard of it, never read it.
So we have zero context here.
True. I'm just Mariah Carey in that interview that's just like, I don't know her. Like, that's my
I'd love to hear from like a Richard Russo fan.
I know. I want to meet a Richard Russo fan.
Just like someone that, like, someone that would school
Fair.
Me on, well, his... wife Renee Russo.
Is that really his wife? No.
See, I would have believed you right there.
Mind blown there, no. So, again, we're not going to get into every thing here, but I think we should just go plot by plot line rather than
order. Yeah, I
mean,
this is the genre that has
Please
broken me.
Please guide me on this.
Yes, you guys are basically the... Like, if you're looking to me to be like, hey, describe this plot, I can't, because this film or miniseries... broke me. It's the genre I can't deal with of the, like, upper middle class, like, middle class white people with folksy music where nothing happens and it's always in New England and there are, like, stock footage of, like, I think they, like, reused some shots too. Like, they definitely reused the shots of, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman and his appearance where, spoiler, he doesn't appear until, like, an hour 50 in.
No, doesn't he appear...
One.
Oh, well, we don't really see him.
He just, like, appears, like, waving on the beach in, like, a tan suit and is, like, all, like, magically sunset.
Oh, yeah.
So his character, as you said, is this kind of mysterious person who's teased throughout the film in photos and stuff.
Yeah, but is it him in the
film? It is him.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I'm going to enlighten the both of you with some of the stuff
that I
thought it was true, and then I did a little bit of background reading on his character. So first of all, The one thing that critics said, and he said himself about his character, is that, and we'll have to rewatch to see it because I didn't really notice this, is that it's one of the few films where he doesn't use his trademark, like, hand mannerisms. Mm. He says he tried to keep it very, like, controlled.
Yeah. Straight-laced.
Straight-laced and controlled. And, I mean, I guess that's interesting.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, no,
so it was an acting
I,
choice, and I respect that.
I noticed it, of just, like, that he was very contained, but still...
Stiff.
...felt emotional, yes. Where it wasn't, like, he was disconnected from his body, it was just, like, quieter, where
I love
I
when he gets to tell a kid that it's all his fault and he hates it.
that I most people believe from the book, is not something that actually happened. That's him... playing Ed Harris's character.
Oh, yeah,
playing
yeah.
Playing a conversation. Also, yeah. Some, but there is, like, a debate among book readers. That. Like, if the, like, did this actually happen?
I guess.
Yeah, it's clearly, I mean, it's a book that is loved and has
yeah.
its fans out there. So,
basically, Ed Harris's character, why am I forgetting his name?
So he's,
because he's American Viggo Mortensen.
Miles Brody.
Miles, yes.
Again, the two big... There's so many, like, again, the narration goes through and says, like, all these different families, but the two biggest families, or the important families
important
to us...
Important for our story.
...are the Robys and the Whitings.
Yes. Mm. So Miles Roby runs the Empire Diner, but he doesn't own it. He's one of the few in town who went to college, but he basically had to stay running this diner. Mrs. Whiting, Joanne Woodward's character,
yes.
owns the diner. She owns a bunch of stuff. His mother... kind of, and we'll get into this a little bit later, kind of like worked out a deal with her, and
yeah.
when he kind of came of age, he started running the diner for her, which on paper looked like, oh,
because
nice.
She paid for his college, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
And his mother's health bills and a lot
yeah.
of stuff. But on paper, oh, this lady's nice. She thinks he should be mayor, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And later we find in the movie, maybe not so much. Basically, I mean, again, we're not like retelling the story here. That woman is... putting, like, she puts people in these cages, right?
Yeah.
Like, she makes people stay in the positions they are, and she later admits it's to punish essentially his mother.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she's getting, like, payback.
Yeah, payback. She even says it.
Yeah.
Payback.
Mm.
By
and
the way.
She is the human embodiment of the asshole cat in this movie.
No, actually,
oh,
a lot of people theorize that the asshole yeah. cat is Philip Seymour Hoffman's character reincarnated.
Really? That makes
because
it
he doesn't like. He doesn't like Ed Harris,
mm.
and he ends up leading to Joanne Woodward, Mrs. Whiting's death.
And the cat shoots himself in the end.
yeah, you got
no,
it.
No, essentially, yes, the cat dies.
Honestly, the cat...
Does the cat die?
The cat leads yeah. Joanne Woodward... Did you guys watch this film?
No, I'm just like...
The cat leads Joanne Woodward's character to the gazebo, and it said there was two deaths on the river that day, and it shows a picture of the cat and her.
Oh, yes, okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. See, I disagree with you, Kyle. I loved that cat. I thought that cat was on meth. That cat maybe has a drug problem.
More...
But I related to that cat, because it just fucking hated everything.
I didn't love the cat. I loved Ed Harris's really crappy, scared reactions.
Oh my god, they were great.
Like, Ed Harris is not a man who should ever be scared of anything.
No.
He's just, like, a very intimidating individual.
This guy gotta work with a cat.
Yeah. And he's just, like, and his, like, face and his, like, little, like, creepy T-Rex scared arms, like,
oh, yeah.
when moving away
yeah,
from the
especially because, like, I'm sure that they didn't throw, like, a live... angry cat at him, because I was trying to figure out for some of the scenes, I'm like, okay.
No.
There's gotta be some sort of, like, puppet CGI fuckery
around here. It was
Jim
Henson Workshop.
You know? I mean, maybe that was me trying to make the movie more interesting, like, I don't know if you want to save, like, improvements to the end of this podcast.
We'll save that for the end, because
yeah,
I definitely
yeah,
want
yeah.
to discuss this
yeah,
okay,
ending.
Okay, I will...
Because there
will
is a lot to discuss
there
in this
a
ending.
Lot to discuss.
So just to move his plot along Miles, and especially Philip Seymour Hoffman, the movie goes through these flashbacks, and there's a childhood version of Miles.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, his mother is married to deadbeat Paul Newman,
yeah.
who's in and out of jail and stuff. And even in modern times, he's kind of still, like, stealing
yeah.
and... breaking things
yeah,
and
taking a senile priest down to
Key West.
Key West.
Yeah. So he just basically his life is to get money, go down to Key West, return, get money in the hometown, go down to Key West for as long as he can. This is Paul Newman's character.
Mm.
So, Ed Harris's character though, these flashbacks you see Robin Wright, as we mentioned, she plays his mother.
Oh, she's a goddess, and it's just wasted in this movie.
And originally, she's like a. I don't know, some kind of clerk at one of the mills?
Yeah, something like that.
The mill goes under. and a lot of it is related to her kind of, she has an affair with, as you mentioned, C.B. Whiting, Charles Whiting, Charlie Mayne, as he pretends. We first really get a glimpse of Philip Seymour Hoffman's character in Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah. Which is also where Ed Harris's character returns every summer.
Returns every summer. That's his Key West, almost, but he's just not a dick about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a place where he runs away.
Yeah, right. It's nice. He brings his daughter. They have a great relationship.
Yeah, him and his daughter have a great relationship. Even the grandfather, Paul Newman, and the daughter have a great relationship.
Yeah.
Helen Hunt, not so much, but
no one likes Helen Hunt. Yeah.
Except
for Dennis Farina.
Dennis Farina
kind
and
of
Hank Azaria,
the worst in this. No fault of her own, just
so,
terrible.
I mean, I guess we were just talking about it. So we see them on the beach. And
yeah. I wrote down 1 hour, 53 seconds in. And this is a story of... I wrote, and again, weird thing, and maybe you don't give a shit, but whatever. I'm going to tell you anyway. Of, as a dog walker and the king of puppies, I am very fond of puppy nicknames. And one of the nicknames I have for a puppy is Beboo. So I was like, Beboo is here! like Philip Seymour Hoffman is a magical puppy, and just like... but yeah, he was... I really appreciated that they really leaned into, like, the manic pixie dream girl lighting for Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah,
like,
he got the
manic
lighting
pixie
here.
Dream girl the fuck in this movie. Like,
he's almost... Yeah, and he's all in white.
He's all in white. He's got those shades. Like, so, he's just the coolest bro at the beach.
As far as the plot goes, I need to know this because I was confused by it. Did she know who he was, and he...
This was a planned vacation.
Okay,
between the two
I just,
of them.
Yeah. All
right. And they made a cover-up, and they wanted... She loves her son. You can't deny
it.
She loves her son.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
She wanted to go... Like, his father's in jail, and she wanted to go away with her son and the man she loved. And they do this discreet little Martha's Vineyard thing, and they invent almost a meet-up.
Yeah, which...
With
that,
this guy.
That I wrote... Philip Seymour Hoffman helps a little kid in the most classy yet creep way. Because, like, thinking about that from a not giving a fuck context, it's like, there's just, like, it's just like this random dude at a restaurant being like, get the clams. And it's like,
yeah, so they go out, yeah, this is
like,
hilarious.
Like, picture anyone else. Like, picture, like, I love Danny DeVito, but, like, picture Danny DeVito. Picture Willem Dafoe.
Get the clams.
Like,
I'm going
to
get your mother's clam
your,
later.
Like, if I were, like, baby Ed Harris, I would be like, who the fuck is you? Like, but what are you doing?
It's such an interesting setup because she... What you notice from Robin Wright is just how happy she is when she's with him and how happy she is. So they go out to dinner, the senior alluding to. They go out to dinner. Robin Wright, young Ed Harris's character, are seated at a table, and Philip Seymour Hoffman's alone at another table, and they have a kind of like, oh, fancy, didn't we meet before? Like, join my table kind of thing.
Yeah. So pretty much trying to trick like a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
They're trying, they're trying to trick him.
And this starts kind of the affair, but the son, Ed Harris, young Ed Harris, knows right away kind of that it's something's going on.
Yeah, and still like, even though... knows that his parents don't have like the best relationship, and his dad is also like in jail, which actually denies at one point or something like that.
Yeah. Mm.
But point being, he's still like on team Paul Newman or Josh Lucas.
I guess Newman for the most part. So he sees his mother like sneak out at night or sneak back in the morning, one of the two. And I mean, that is like a really depressing thing to see as a kid, especially back then, especially in a small town when you know it's going to cause some hullabaloo. But he...
What happens on the vineyard stays.
But what's funny is that Ed Harris's character has no... I guess he was young, has no idea that that's C.B. Whiting at the time.
Yeah.
He has no idea he's a Whiting at all.
Mm. Which, to quick then also go then further into C.B. Whiting's thing, so he was... like, I'm doing air quotes around, exiled to Mexico?
Yes.
Let's just quick give, like, a little back.
So when Robin Wright's character worked at the mill, that's where she met Philip Seymour Hoffman, when he was running the mill.
Yes.
The family exiles him to Mexico. And do you know why?
Because he did a shitty job.
Because he got her pregnant?
He actually was the person who ran over the daughter.
That's the whole thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this daughter character...
I knew that, but I forgot that was...
This daughter character came back to town. This is in the present timeline.
Yes.
And the mother, Joanne Woodward, is like really pushing for Ed Harris to marry her. And she even seems like she's really into him too. She says she loves him. They kind of had a thing way back when. Because sorry about the timeline, guys. It's like a kind of up and down thing.
Yeah.
But Robin Wright's character, when Philip Seymour Hoffman's character goes down to Mexico, and we don't see this. She's out of a job, obviously. The mill closes, and she ends up taking a job taking care of Joanne Woodward's crippled daughter, who ends up... And this is where the web begins. We don't really see it as an audience, but she's holding the daughter's accident against Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, Joanne Woodward.
Yeah.
She's holding against Robin Wright's character because she knows... You know that scene with the bridge?
Yeah.
She's going there to admit the affair. Mm. And basically, she kind of says, I'll give you a job here, but to hold it against her.
Yeah.
And then eventually, she holds it against Ed Harris.
Well, so it's like, again, I watched this. I paid attention, but it's just like, just hearing it, it's weird. Just like hearing it in order, then you go like, okay, that like makes more sense. Just like having
it was so sprawled
out and separated. It almost needed to be like everything was like found out at like a time or explained. I don't know.
Right, because like watching it, like thank you both for being professionals. I am the monster. I am the meth cat that did not give a fuck and just hated this experience. But like hearing you both, you know, go through, or just hearing someone go through the plot points, you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
And it actually makes me go like, oh, that's kind of smart writing.
Yeah, but watching it is just torturous because it's all spread out, and it's like there is such a pacing issue. I feel
it's
like.
Got a very that's Greek fair. Tragedy vibe.
That's fair.
To it.
You know
yeah,
what?
But like,
I think if this was adapted into a screenplay, like a movie, one like maybe a 2-hour film.
Yeah.
The side characters, while the actors are really good, would be a little bit minimized and more be like quirky and less fleshed out, which is not
bad. Yeah, there's no need
for
Aidan Quinney,
right,
even though he was my favorite thing in the
movie.
There's zero need for him.
Now, you know why there's zero need for him, too? Because, and I guess it's the same in the novel, but there's no payoff with him except that he gets with the girl.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys realize...
And he's like a talented cook.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys realize, I'm not saying that condescendingly, I just mean like if you cared or not, but he's clearly Philip Seymour Hoffman's son.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, there's. Because even whatchamacallit, Ed Harris says it to Paul Newman, like, and Paul Newman goes, like, I don't know, this is the whole thing of, like, you know, your son, like, and I don't know. It's just like.
But he's. And so there's really no payoff there because I thought it was going to end, and we'll discuss the ending later, but I thought it was going to end with him, like, being legitimized and taking the money from Mrs. Whiting, like, as the, like, Game of Thrones style.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, the Jon Snow, like,
well,
like
it
would have
been interesting
son.
If there was, like, a red wedding.
And, like, you just bring up Game of Thrones, and that's just, like, because there's just, like, so many, like, family and feuding things in there. Because that's also, again, the whole thing. So, like, before she became a Whiting, she was from another family, a poor family, that the Whitings bought a property from. And the whole thing with CB, through narration, we learned that he never wanted to get married, and then ended up, like, you see him in the picture staring off at Francine, whatever her, like, original name was.
Robin Wright? Oh, no, or the woman, Joanne Woodward.
Man.
Yeah, Joanne Woodward's. Like, because she was that poor family that sold that property of, like, the estate.
Yeah.
But then, and he never intended of, like, getting married. He always wanted to be a bachelor, but then saw her and fell in love with her. Because the whole thing also is all the Whiting men end up, like, killing themselves or dying.
Killing themselves or trying to kill their wives.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we alluded to it before, and it's said at the beginning, C.B. Whiting ends up taking his own life.
But this is, like, the seventh Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
Died. He dies a lot.
He really does.
So, he takes his own life, but we're not... We know this from the beginning, but we're not sure that that character is C.B. Whiting. This is a little bit, like you said, one of the mysteries of the thing. So, it's a reveal later. And so, do we have any other Philip Seymour Hoffman scenes besides the... End little thing that we're not sure if it's real or not.
I mean, it's you've got the no, you've it really it goes at the country club, the Clams Casino stuff, then on the beach, and like young Ed Harris goes to play, and they're in the car, and he sees them like, and there's like a little
and
bit
they're being
talking
all
on the
snuggly,
there's a little talking
like...
on the beach at one point, also because he's talking to young Ed Harris on the beach as well, and then the big moment is also then like again I think that it's like. Him like arguing with himself, Ed Harris, like, and thinking. Like,
yeah, and yeah. So that's the kind of the last time we see him. I mean, I guess we'll get into that by the ending, but
I mean, might as well
really...
play. I love that he gets to yell at a, or not, or just be mean to a kid. So,
he gets to live the dream right there.
So let's play that clip for you.
Your mother almost ready?
My mother died, Charlie.
Nah, she's just inside getting ready. She's gonna wear that pretty white dress, I bet.
She died. She waited for you.
I meant to come. I wanted to.
So why didn't you?
When you're older, you understand.
You killed her.
No, she died of cancer. You know that.
Never came. I hate you.
And I you. If it wasn't for you, your mother and I could have run away together like we wanted to. We could have been happy. What happened was your fault, not mine.
Yeah, I mean, so that again, that's the scene that there's this debate of, did this happen?
Yeah.
Is this? I think it's Ed Harris's like internal struggle, because that's the whole thing. Like, really, every time we have these flashbacks, it's through, and even like not, there's quick little flashes. Like again, since that he goes back every summer to Martha's Vineyard, he passes familiar places and sees Philip Seymour Hoffman waving and all that kind of stuff.
A lot of the scenes in part two, besides for this one, from Philip Seymour Hoffman are just the same scenes in part one, just kind of showing a little.
Well, there's also like a general overall problem I have with this is like that it's trying to be like a slice of life kind of drama, but then it has these touches of whimsy, but it doesn't commit, because there's like that creepy photo like where like Philip Seymour Hoffman like looks at Robin Wright-Penn and then looks back at the camera, and you're like, god damn it, I know that they're fucking each other, just you know, shut the fuck up. Like this scene, it was like the porch scene, like, it's an interesting idea, but for a better movie and better executed, because this was just like, I enjoyed him yelling at a little kid. Like, he was very grounded in his emotions. Like, he was more restrained. He wasn't doing, like, the cliche, like, I'm mad at you loud voices shit. No, it was just, like, it came from a real dark hatred place.
Yeah, it's
where
just
I was
like
good... well done.
Yeah.
But the conceit itself was just kind of like, kill me. Kill me now.
It just
reminded me
of his future role and what he does in The Master, where at the end he has like the so obviously he has a relationship with the boy in it.
Yeah.
And so like he has a relationship with Joaquin Phoenix's Freddie Quells in that movie. And at the end he's just like, you know, in The Master, and obviously we'll talk about that when we get to the movie.
Right.
But he's just like, if you leave now, like we will become like mortal enemies.
Yeah.
And it's just like, but it's so like, we'll become mortal enemies. And it's just very like, so this, the kid, I mean, the kid's just like, I don't like you. He's like, ah, I hate you too.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a very, like.
Yeah, no, it feels real and visceral and like.
Something a kid would think.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's obviously streets ahead as a film.
Yeah.
From
life,
this.
Like, life would be easier if you didn't exist. Like, your mom and I would be happy together.
Yeah.
So that's pretty.
And yeah, and it's almost his realization of it too. Like, it's
right.
Just like, you know, and they're kind of in a similar boat, the two of them.
Yeah.
They both cared for Robin Wright's character, the mother, in this case, the, I don't know, a Ferris. I don't know, whatever.
Grace.
Yeah. Grace, okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Grace. And it's. Did you like how they did it, flashing between? FYI, if you haven't seen this, like, and you heard two voices there, it's that they keep. We mentioned this, but they keep flashing between a kid, the kid version of Ed Harris, and Ed Harris. So, did you like that? Or?
Oh yeah, no, that was nice, and I don't mind like there just being these flashbacks in the movie, but like, I've just been like, since you said it, like, it's been in my head. I'm already picturing how this can be, and I know we'll get into it, but like, things we would change with, but like, it could be like a good movie, even though, again, novels I think would be nice in a, like a longer format, like a mini series or whatever. But like, there's just so many things in this, and like, it's even kind of sad that like Paul Newman's character isn't necessary.
Yeah,
like really, all it needed to be was that there's a, like, even maybe a single mom, or like whether the dad's not around or dad's in jail or whatever. And then I mean, the big thing in this movie is that is the Robin Wright, Philip Seymour Hoffman, you know, Joanne Woodward, and then
I think we've come to consensus that like that there's a core of good story there for sure.
Yeah,
right.
It's just
it's just so.
Maybe you've hit on something.
So
Kyle.
Awful.
Maybe you've hit on something.
Yeah.
Maybe this is better at like, I know this sounds crazy to you, Jenny, probably, but maybe this is better as a like a longer miniseries, so we can get more of that core story with like the characters still in the peripheral, but like not feeling excessive at times. I don't know. It's either probably has to live in one or the other, because we keep saying miniseries, right?
Yeah.
But
it's
how many
two episodes?
Yeah. How many miniseries do we know there are two episodes?
That's a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it kind of exists in this weirdo in between world.
It's just again, it's so weird. Like, they decide to keep like these title card chapter moments. It's like, how were those not episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like HBO Now today, if they're making this, they make every one of those an episode, and they make it a little bit more interesting and like less. And then, because you hit on some good points, Jenny, where you, it's, I'm sure, I don't, again, I've never read Richard Russo novel, but there seems to be some like magical, like slight magic fantasy elements in there.
Right.
Not fantasy, but you know,
yeah,
not, like,
they're like touches of whimsy, where it's not full Bjork whimsy, but it's there.
But
like,
I think you could lay that out better, where it doesn't seem just like, this is kind of silly. If
right.
It was a like a,
well,
how many,
like,
chapters are there?
There are
eight.
So you have
apparently
8 hours of, you know, I know it sounds crazy, but like an 8 hour series.
Yeah.
We probably wouldn't have had Philip Seymour Hoffman in every episode. So if you're worried about us watching it, but I guess, you know, for context, but
sure.
But that might have worked better than at least the 2 episode thing, because that's, it's again, it's like a movie and a movie, and it's not movies. They're not standalone movies.
Yeah, and they're,
you can't
not
watch one.
They're
the
not
other.
Particularly exciting or well paced out.
No,
yeah, like
no,
you couldn't,
I mean,
finish at the first one and be like, that's a movie.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
then, but, I mean, even, but then the like climax of this movie is just such a, or not even climax, but I don't know, you know, like in modern day, like a big pivotal moment.
Well, or you're talking about the boy,
like the
school,
the random school shooting.
I think in a
from
longer,
like,
form.
I have a big theory on this.
I think
it's very well. It's big. It's big, but it's.
I think it's an
it's
obvious
simple.
Explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's simple.
Yeah,
I don't think.
Yeah,
it's
not big in like a sprawling like.
Yeah, like, oh, this guy was this guy. No,
but
I think
it's like,
I think it's
like
a really obvious explanation.
Oh,
yeah, which is good.
Oh, but, I do have, you know, notes on chapter 7, just like before.
Is that the school shooting?
Because, well, no, it's one of those, I'm a little obsessed with finding terrible lines from films that, like, people actually write.
Like,
and
Sam, this, of
there's
course,
this,
from, wait, what is that one?
There's this really
which
shitty line in here. I was too lazy to look it up. I'm sorry, y'all. But it's something about, like, sunlight penetrating the darkness, and it's after Philip Seymour Hoffman kills himself, where I'm like, you had the right idea, you got out of this film, good job, buddy. Your angst and hats are gone now, you know.
Oh, it's
R.I.P.
the river, right? Even the darkest water.
Yeah it's,
that to me is a better, probably in a book.
Yeah, it's one of those things that when you speak it out loud as a person, like, it's the point that Carrie Fisher made a lot with, like, the Star Wars lines, where, like, you can't say some of these lines as a person. Like, you can say them in a novel where you read them and your brain's like,
I understand this like,
concept.
As you said right in the beginning when I was, like, getting into it, like, inner monologue, that's what, like, a lot of books, like, clearly have, because you're reading to yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
also,
it's fine to hear one voice, like, if you did even, like, an audio book.
Right.
You accept that more, hearing, like, one person.
Yeah, because that's there's also like the language of the visual language. You're seeing those words, and like that's okay in a book. But like you said, it's again just a Star Wars, not Carrie Fisher Star Wars, but that stupid line like, "I hate sand. It's so coarse. It gets everything."
Right.
Know? Hating like, Christensen. It's just like, yeah, George Lucas is the king of these things. Yeah, you know, and he's not even a novelist.
So like, same with, you know, Richard Russo's not as bad as George Lucas when it comes to
but
that.
George Lucas is also doing like Space Camp and.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely some lines in here that was like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ! Like what? And same with the structure of like, I feel like they were trying to set up this school shooting where Edward Furlong just being the weird poor kid, like obviously he's gonna lose it. And there was like
Yeah. I was like, that's good. Yeah, no, I know it's not Edward Furlong, but I was like, that's
no, you had a reaction
clever.
To it. I'm like, wait a minute.
No. I was like sorry, I should have been like, oh, that's clever. Like, haha, like that was my I could see that.
Yeah, because there's like a scene in the beginning where they like set up the art class and like that chick I don't care about like cuts her hand and
Candace.
You're like, why did you cut your hand, Candace? Who gives a fuck about you?
Candace!
What the shit is this? And then like, baby Miles Teller again. I know it's not actually Miles Teller as a young man. Maybe it is.
I could see that
know.
Too.
But
it's not
he
Miles
just,
Teller as a young man.
You know,
he doesn't get punched in the
like,
face.
Decides to be the worst and is like Sky High's ex-boyfriend or whatever. And
yeah, so
they, like,
he's the son. He's the
up.
Son of the cop.
And I feel like in a book, maybe that could work. But like, I feel like in a film, I'm just kind of like, what the shit is this?
Yeah, so
continue.
Okay, so
it's too much of a tangent.
Again, what was it? What's the actress's name? You're saying Sky High. I said Flash.
We keep forgetting her name.
But so the daughter of Ed Harris, she's got her own little story going on, and pretty much it's that she has a crappy ex-boyfriend, and then she's like the only person that's like nice to this weird outsider kid that supposedly lives with his grandmother, but then we find out that his grandmother died and he's been living in this house alone.
Does he kill puppies? Are they implying
that?
That
also, yeah.
I don't know.
Because they say, oh, we found a lot of pet skeletons in the back. And
no, I think that's the whole thing
because
he sees the dog and then you hear the dog like do the cliche like dog whimper cry.
Yeah.
Or that was not. Death cry. Like,
yeah.
like weird. Surprised that I didn't get the dogs going.
I know, right?
But
where's Buddha to do his sound effects?
So, yeah. So, point being, it just she even gets him a job as like a
cook or something.
Yeah,
like
a dish boy and like, kind of busboy.
Some shit.
At her father's diner. But anyway, so just out of nowhere. Because then the cops are looking for this kid because her asshole ex-boyfriend jock guy makes
Baby
it known
Miles Teller.
That he's like this kid's grandmother's dead and he's living by himself and he's a minor still, so the cops are looking for him and he's like looks like he's living down by the river. It goes in a very Chris Farley SNL sketch moment. But all of a sudden comes into this classroom and school shooting. So my big but simple theory on this is, as Brian said earlier, this book came out in 2001. 2 years prior is now, unfortunately, we live in a world where this happens a lot, but one of the craziest events in modern history of Columbine, the shooting of Columbine.
I don't think that's a theory. I think it's just, like, obvious.
Yeah,
like,
his
commenting
epiphany,
on
of course,
it.
As a commentary,
Well, as a person that doesn't read a lot and doesn't know Richard
Russo... I wasn't, like, poo-pooing on what you said.
Like,
I'm complimenting you. You're obviously right.
It was just like... Oh, but at the same token, I think he's, like, writing this. It's like, oh, like, what should be, like, a dramatic thing for, like, the present-day story?
Right. I just thought it was dumb. Like, it's a dumb way to tie the past to the present. So it was kind of like, fuck you. And, like, clearly, I mean, again, I know, like, Ed Harris is not the greatest dad, but, like, your daughter has PTSD, son. Like, what's with this, like, the whimsy beach walk ghost
scene.
Whatever.
The whole after effects. And, you know,
it's just like I just gave up. I gave up on life after watching this film. I meant that. This is not the worst film I've watched. That would probably belong to like Norbit or whatever that.
No, the, come on, you can't even.
Or the hot chick.
You can't even put that in that category. Okay, yeah, no way.
It's just
not a chance. That's complete hyperbole. If you think it's like a movie like that,
it's not. That's what I have to point out to these listeners is that
Eddie Murphy does appear in a fat suit in this film, but
he does. No, just. I feel like I just had to clarify that it's not
fair.
The worst film I've ever seen, but it is a genre that has broken me as a person.
Well, now again,
I know certain people that would enjoy this, and
I feel like an older crowd maybe.
Yeah.
And I would recommend it to them. I know I'm jumping ahead by saying that.
I didn't dislike this. I really didn't dislike this. It just. That angle, the school shooting angle, is something now that we discuss it, this is something that where, it, as a miniseries, it's needed more episodes, because it should not have come like as such a shock to us. You're like, oh, fuck, he did that, is better than, what the hell?
Yeah.
Which is my reaction, you know?
Yeah.
But what's going on?
Yeah, I think I was...
Wait, he's a gun?
Yeah, I was just kind of like, fucking really? Like, what is this?
And that should not be. It should, like, it's something that's supposed to be like Pulitzer Prize winning writing, at least the book, you shouldn't get like a shock factor moment.
Right.
Well, again, and
it just
like,
feels kind of cheap.
So we've talked about cheap, it that like it, as far as for films we've covered, when we tend to find that like a weaker one, it is one that didn't like have like it like the a steady voice the whole time and like put itself to a, I don't want to say put itself to a genre, but it just feels like it just has like a lot of unnecessary like.
Yeah, it doesn't commit.
It doesn't commit.
And it suffers from the fact that it's like a quick adaptation. It probably needed a more steady hand to either make it into a film or make it into a long miniseries.
I mean, if I were going to, you know, take this piece of trash and turn it into treasure, I would hand it over to Brian Fuller. Who is like the master of blending like pathos and whimsy and like, you know, going into like being
that's
like,
fair.
Hey,
I could see an adaptation.
These like
these
characters go into the intrigue and then use the visuals of Maine in a new way, you know?
I'm gonna say this.
I could feel it.
Because again, it's not like I thought like maybe like a lot of people didn't like do it, like actors didn't do a good job or something like that. I think that you could take this and edit it down, and it would be a tight, decent movie.
No, I believe that's true too. I think it's one of these things that you cast these names and they need like something.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah, no hate for the cast. I think the cast was all really great except for the usage of like the ah. And like the accent leaning where it was like, okay, it's fun, haha, now you can stop. But yeah, no, I think everyone like emotionally was like really committed. It's just not a worthy script of them, like for them. Like I feel like if they edited it down and just had like an editor being like, fuckity no, don't do that, Paul Newman, I'm sorry you're irrelevant to this, like we'll get you a better film.
But he won his Emmy.
He did.
Okay, I think it's fair, like, whether you guys want to pare it down. I don't necessarily want more. I want it put in a different medium.
Because
I feel like Richard Russo wanted to make this, or HBO wanted to make this, to show more of the story element. Maybe he was unhappy with Nobody's Fool.
Maybe. Though you hear that a lot. I think Nobody's Fool was a much stronger piece. Like, definitely, like, for an acting piece for Paul Newman, like, that was a lot
better.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that. But not that Paul Newman was bad, but like you said, he wasn't too essential.
Yeah.
And
just
either way, it's just, I think we can all agree that like a two part miniseries, and I'm using air quotes, it's hard to satisfy your clientele or whatever. So this like had 75% on Rotten Tomatoes, but not a lot of ratings, not a lot of reviews, not a lot much, because also we can't know how much money it did because that's not how HBO works.
I think maybe also I'm coming from a place that like since it's like 13 years later, like HBO, like I wasn't watching HBO at this time probably. I mean again, Sopranos was on or whatever.
Yeah.
But like I definitely like me getting into HBO started
with Sex and the City.
Yes.
And I'm the Miranda.
Why? There's no denying that.
I mean there is no denying that.
I'm actually kind of like
Samantha.
I'm a very like combined of like everybody for the most
part. Oh my god, that's such a cop-out.
Except for Miranda, because I don't like Miranda. No, I'm a Samantha, but I have like a bit of Carrie in me too.
We all have a bit of Carrie. Oh my god,
this is terrible. And
who do you want to be?
Oh god, nobody. Burger? Can I pick nobody?
Is Stanley Tucci in Sex and the City? I feel
like
he must.
Is he? Because
have been.
If he is, I pick Stanley Tucci.
Anyway,
I could see him in that world.
But I could too.
My time of like really like watching like a lot of HBO much came with, I think, like Boardwalk Empire.
Mm.
So that's now like 7 years ago probably. But point being,
you were more into like the After Dark HBO.
Is that what?
Is that?
Yeah, they have like. At least they used to have a lot more softcore porn.
Oh, yeah. No, HBO Zone, yeah.
Oh, that's what it was called, yeah. HBO Zone.
Channel 304 on
I'm into the hardcore. Yeah, not hardcore. I'm into the softcore porn zone.
Yeah.
No, hardcore, that's not my zone.
Where is that jazzy, smooth sex when you need it?
But, yeah, so again, maybe there's a... Like, I don't think this, but maybe on a subconscious level... Before watching this, I was like expecting a little bit more from HBO at the same time too. So you're just taking like, I'm watching like the quality. Not that this is bad quality, like production value wise and that kind of stuff. And like it's a good cast, but it's just from like material that I just don't read in general. And then on top of that, like I don't know, typical HBO, you know, like, let's go, again, this is called a miniseries, like, Band of Brothers, miniseries.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but imagine Band of Brothers in 2 episodes.
Oh,
yeah.
God, no.
That's silly.
Maybe I just have very high standards, but I would slightly disagree where, like, I think the music was terrible. I think a lot of the shots were really uninspired and stagnant, where I'm just like, this is a film, you know? You gotta... Like, you have to use the medium. You have to, like, entertain visually and, like, also connect with the story and have
the actors.
They
tried to do it with, like, the quirky narration.
They tried, but the quirky narration would have worked so much better if it was Werner Herzog.
Well, of
just
course.
Saying really existential shit. Like, that's what would have maybe saved this
for me. I just think... You want to talk about characterization and visuals in the town, and I know we keep going back to this, but nobody's fool. I felt like I got to know that town a lot better than this one.
Yeah,
and this one was supposed to have more character.
Yeah, it's just really weird to me that, like, given, like, the amount, like, the runtime of this, like, I didn't, like, get as much as I get from...
And that's why I know I'm in the minority here, but I am in the longer version camp of this, because why don't we know this town more? I should be able to know what streets to turn down in this town and all that kind of stuff. And it's weird that we don't know that in such a long-form medium. Just quickly, we didn't mention this. Like, so this ends, this film, obviously. You alluded to it, the whole Martha's Vineyard after the shooting, which we kind of see that it's a little bit, like, selfish.
Yeah.
Like, it's more about Ed Harris's character than his daughter.
Yeah,
that's
what bugged me, where I'm like, yo, she survived a school shooting and you're just gonna divert it to your man pain. Good for you.
Because
buddy.
When Paul Newman's like, oh, let's go home, essentially, like, Paul Newman meets up with them and is like, and he's like, oh, I don't know if my daughter's ready. It's like, hey, do you want to go home? She's like, yeah, I'm ready to go home. Yeah. And I want to talk to the guy who almost killed me.
Right.
I want to tell him I'm sorry.
Yeah, which is, if that's part of her process, whatever.
I guess, yeah, you know. Yeah, like...
I don't know. But you see that it's more about Ed Harris, and that's where it parallels with frickin' Key West, where it's like, oh, this is just your space. You know, that's not her space. And then, like, one of the bigger, I guess, narration endings is that the town ends up doing very well because, well, the old lady you mentioned, she dies.
Yeah.
But before that, she sells the old mill or whatever, or factory becomes a strip mall. And that's, like, supposed to be,
yeah,
like,
most,
a good
like,
thing.
Del goes in.
Most famously, Maine's favorite export, L.L. Bean.
Yeah.
And L.L. Bean Outlet goes in there. Suddenly it's all okay.
I feel like L.L. Bean, like, that clearance rack got so much usage in this film. There were so many dad jeans. There was, like...
Yeah, there are. But you know what? That's something that I think
okay.
is accurate.
Yeah,
I think
it's
that's accurate of Maine. At least the Maine I want to know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, it was accurate. It was not a very fashionable movie.
So I thought about this, like, halfway through the podcast, and no guarantees... we're not sure of the medium yet, but pretty soon coming up, we're going to have a second act little thing like we did for the first act. We'll put it that way.
Yes.
I'm going to try, and I have to get the audiobook. Okay, I'm going to try to read this book. And I'll tell you if... I know it's from the opposite point of view, but I'll tell you if the book is actually, in my opinion, good or not. Because now I'm actually curious to see... More to see, like, okay, where did they go wrong here? Because this is clearly a Pulitzer-winning book that people... It's like a beloved book, apparently.
Yeah, well, you know what? Where did they go wrong here? What's that stupid movie that won Best Picture? Crash.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? There's going to be a Pulitzer that doesn't deserve a Pulitzer.
I get that, but again, he's...
So I don't know. I'm going to put that out there, too.
But, like, no one... Maybe some people, but no one I know...
Philip Seymour Hoffman...
Well, Paul Haggis is, like, fucking awesome, you know, like, with the screenplays. Like, some people really like him, but, like, Richard Russo is considered, like, one of the most iconic writers of our time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know enough, because I've never read that, but... I want to read it, and I want to see it.
Yeah. I mean, I've really only been, exposed to his work through this film and Nobody's Fool, so I just... The politest thing I can say is just to go into my Lucille Bluth corner and be like, I don't care for him.
Fair.
That's the politest I can do, because I'm just not a fan of, like, obvious metaphors of being like, ooh, you know, Robin Wright is so happy she gets this white dress and then she throws it in the trash when he's gone and her life's falling apart. I'm like, oh, really?
But see, that stuff I wonder is it in the novel?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be in the novel.
Yeah, I know, that's the whole thing.
That stupid sunshine line that I just can't even acknowledge, like... with words.
Well, I will let you guys know.
Please do.
If I get through it. Who knows? I might not make it through.
You might not. I don't know. I mean, not everyone can...
At the least,
can...
read the Wikipedia page. For
yeah.
That, you know, I might just do that.
I mean, I might read the IMDb trivia, but it also
there's not
might
much.
Oh, damn it. See, I was going to say, it's probably going to be really boring.
So, anything else you want to add about this film?
No.
We miss some plot lines, like the whole he wants to open up another restaurant, she won't let him.
Oh, well,
oh, yeah, like the
bank,
whole
you know,
shop, whatever.
I know we've done this for plenty of other movies that we go over like a scene by scene.
No, but we're not. This is a mini series again. It's too long to do that.
Yeah, but even besides, you know, because of maybe a smaller Philip Seymour Hoffman role in a movie, so we'll go scene by scene. And we just generally, I mean, it's been a while now since there's been something that I wasn't like a fan of, but you know, so I mean, but it, I mean, it wasn't. It's like a really long movie. It's not a miniseries. It's not a movie, but it's so it doesn't even know itself in its own like runtime, I guess. But again, there's some admiring like qualities of it that like I still don't like. I don't hate it, and then there's enough that I know that I would recommend it to certain people that they would enjoy it.
Certain people
would enjoy it.
Young children.
It's a good film if you want to go to sleep or like if you want to do some laundry and just vaguely pay attention. Like that's the kind of category it is. I mean, honestly, like it was not my cup of tea, and I found... Because at least the other genre, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not a huge fan of Westerns by themselves. I think the Westerns work better as mashups. Like, Western comedy is really great, Blazing Saddles. But, like, if you are like, oh, watch The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, I'll be like, well, I'm going to be asleep in 5 minutes because I don't give a fuck. Or, like, I'm going to go and watch something else because I don't give a fuck. But,
I mean, that's fair because I think people, like, I wouldn't recommend this to sci-fi fans.
Yeah.
You know?
This is not something that's supposed
to be, like, this sprawling modern, like...
Yeah. It's not like a good hate watch. Like you're not.
No, definitely not. It's not to that level. It's I want to make that clear. Level. Don't watch this it's, like, to hate it.
You know, maybe if you're like in your 50s and you really like golfing, and
if my grandmother was like a white woman,
yeah,
like a white American woman,
like your
then
white
maybe
woman
she would enjoy this. Like, but my grandmother
speaks
Spanish,
yeah,
so she probably wouldn't connect with this world of Maine. But I could see if
if you're white
would.
And have a grandma. Maybe.
You
that's
know,
a
like,
very vague and terrible statement.
You have
Shut
a grandmother.
It down.
Would she enjoy this?
meh.
But you could see some grandmothers enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe not any grandmothers we like, have, but
okay,
like...
Okay, I amend my earlier statement. If you have a waspy grandmother...
Yeah, that's better. Like, let's
they
not paint,
will
let's not
enjoy
put
the fuck out of it.
That.
You know?
You know, like this is... Maybe if you're from Maine, you would really like this film.
Yeah.
I could see that. You're from New England.
If you're... So. Yeah, but that doesn't mean I like
New
it,
England,
Ryan.
Where are you from?
I'm from Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so not even... Way to stereotype me, Ryan.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm joking.
I know.
So yeah.
You do own a pet lobster.
But I will say, if you decide to watch this and you're not a waspy grandma or grandfather, no gender discrimination there, you know. Like,
true.
Fun if
for
you
all
imagine
genders.
The folksy narration said by Werner Herzog, it's much better. And also...
Will you do your best Werner Herzog?
Yeah, can you do this?
To this film.
I'm here in this disgusting old main town.
I guess...
There's sewage in the river. It used to be beautiful.
Where did the shirt factory go? Like, you know, we asked these questions.
I own a shirt. It was made of beautifully.
Oh, man. So, Jenny... we ask you what you're up to. Anything else you want to plug or share on the podcast, or also remind people where they can follow you?
Well, damn. I'm not sure. So, I guess. Yeah, I don't really have much to add besides wacky sound effects and just general. Defeat because this movie I will say you know I've just to heal my soul from this I binged all of Stranger Things and watched a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race. It's a good combo. It's a really good combo. But yeah, follow me on Instagram. It's jenny.o'connell, you know, for like
pretty
modeling
easy.
Photos and shit. And then Jenny and the Bets XO, that's my other Instagram, which is more of give no fucks, you know, you want some random memes and just me not giving a fuck.
I feel like
there
that's
you
more
go.
Your personality.
It used to be
yeah.
Go socks and pats, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Chowed
totally.
Ahead.
It was
chowed,
wicked
yeah. Chowed ahead. 1990.
Yeah, it was actually it was Wicked Piss a Home Breakout.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So definitely let us know when that play comes out.
Yeah, totally. And let me know when you're going to invite me on for a good movie.
Well.
Never.
You're our bad movie go-to. And our Paul
so.
Newman go-to.
Yeah, this is true.
That's Nobody's Fooled, The Getaway, Empire Falls. What,
yep.
Which one's your favorite?
Isn't there another one in there?
Oh, there's the
oh,
Stanley
yeah, and,
Tucci.
And the...
The not gay cowboy film, Montana.
Montana.
So Montana, okay. The
yeah.
Getaway, Nobody's Fool, and
you know,
this
it's,
one. What's
it's
your favorite?
It's probably a... Oh God, it's probably like Nobody's Fool and The Getaway tied.
Wow.
But like barely, I mean. it's a slim pickin' right there. I mean, I guess out of favorite roles, I would say that I liked I'm going to go with those same picks again cuz this, you know, he was good, but it was very like Philip Seymour Hoffman is Manic Pixie Dream Girl in beige suit. At the beach.
Yeah, I mean, just to bring it back
wearing
to the podcast,
shades.
I think you're right in terms of, did he do a great job? Yes, he always does a good, great job. It's
yeah,
not
he's
a role
like better
that,
in
yeah.
this than I guess his like cop role. In,
but it, yeah,
it's
just
more
of
his character.
But it's
yeah.
not something that does him justice. I think it's something that. So this is like, we're kind of a little out of order now.
Yeah,
yeah we are.
Of,
but
tangents. This is when his name was getting like a lot more recognition.
Mm.
So it's something that like he was cast in. I know he did it really fast.
Yeah.
He shot only for like a couple days. So he squeezed this in.
Yeah. And then he goes and wins an Oscar the next year.
Yeah, so. He goes and wins an Oscar.
Yeah.
So it's like this is I don't want to say they used him and maybe we'll see more of this, but this is definitely like he said he was third billing in
right.
this. I think it's something where like the role does not do him justice.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, it's a role that anyone could play, but he is a professional and just goes in, he knocks it out of the park, and is like, all right, so I'm just going to go win an Oscar next year. Like, bye, guys. You know? So it is something that I do admire that about him, that he doesn't phone it in. He's always 100%. He's always present. He's always uncool. He's always ready to give you that, like, waspy, warm, maybe creepy, maybe not creepy, maybe totally charming kind of thing that he does, where you're like, I like it.
Exactly. And at the very least, he tells a kid that he hates
him. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, living that dream there.
So, Kyle, anything else you want to add?
Besides the fact that next week we will finally, because that's the other thing, we had to order the DVD. The DVD
of Strangers with Candy.
Of Strangers with Candy. So next week will be Strangers with Candy.
Not the TV series. The movie, which is a prequel. Like, yes. You just told me that.
So. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because I've never actually seen the TV show. Maybe now that I have like a little time before we record that, maybe I will. It's like 3 seasons. I'll see how long that is. Maybe I'll watch the TV show. Hmm. But nonetheless, we will be discussing the prequel to the TV series of Strangers with Candy, and then, like I said, then it's going to be the end of Act 2 with Capote after that, so just some big stuff ahead.
Big stuff ahead. Definitely tune in and listen. Follow, like, subscribe, share, comment. We'll probably
yell at small children like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yell at small children. Yeah. We'll probably next week discuss some of your comments on the air, because we like doing that.
Yes.
We like to wait a couple episodes to get some juicy
ones.
It's
been a little while, but next week will be just Brian and I, so we'll get those in.
So we'll sift through those comments, and thanks, as always, for listening.
And Jenny, it's been a while, but do you recall how we... Actually, wait.
I don't think she was there for that.
No, we started after you, so this is going to be your first time.
Yes!
Our sign-off that we began is that we have our guest say at the end... to remind our Hoff fans to stay uncool. It's from Almost Famous. And
a film that he was in.
Yeah,
a good film that he was in.
Yeah, exactly. Why weren't you on that episode?
I know. Chicago.
Dennis Farina. Anyway, if you could just remind our Hoff fans to...
stay uncool.
Thank you. I believe in miracles. Since you came along, you sex a thing.